gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, you are listening to Broken But Glorious!
Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulkster, whatever they call you, I'm coming after you, you coward!
Welcome to another edition of Broken But Glorious podcast. I'm your host for this week. It's Nick Davey again, a substitute in once again for Chris Lappin, becoming quite the fiend this, but he is still with us very much so. Delighted to be joined, though, as ever, by the ever-present and fantastic three-time wrestling author, Oliver Newman.
I like that, Nick. That was good. But, yeah, Chris is recording in the background but can't be with us this week, so... Nick's doing a tremendous job hosting, so I thought I'd leave him to it.
Apart from getting people's names wrong like last week, apologies again to our fellow Mark Fox, not Mark Knox, or Mike Knox, or any is Mark Fox. Sadly, Mark's not with us as well tonight. It's just a two-man team of myself and Oliver, but what we make up in numbers will bring to you in quality, we promise you that.
Okay, it's the introduction of Mark Knox last week. That's my new favourite. I don't know, let's do a cosplay character based on him or something. In the future. That's brilliant.
How are you doing this evening, Oliver?
Yeah, all good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, very well. Just come off, enjoyed a fantastic weekend of wrestling and looking forward to digest it this evening. So, should be a great show.
Absolutely.
We'll start though with, obviously, trying to start in logical order. We'll start with the fantastic NXT TakeOver, UK TakeOver, I should say, because we're going to be reviewing that and AEW tonight on this show. NXT TakeOver UK, I personally thought, an excellent show. I thought it was a lot better than the previous takeover Toronto, and also we're going to compare it to another NXT UK. I thought it was better than the NXT UK takeover in Blackpool back in January. I thought it was a fantastic show from start to finish. What are your overall thoughts of the show?
Yeah, just I think there was some issues with it, I'm not going to lie, and we'll talk about it in detail, but I think the crowd were fantastic. I mean, are you watching Vince McMahon? And I saw a tweet online that said he was, and they were very loud. So it's good that he was. I just think it, from start to finish, at least good or better wrestling. And as wrestling fans, that's what we live for, really.
Absolutely. Well, we'll start off in no particular, but I think it'll be rude if we don't start with what was an absolute tremendous main event between champion Walter and Tyler Bates. Obviously, I've mentioned on the show before how lucky I was to be at Progress Wembley when they had obviously a fantastic match. I mentioned off air and on the chat that I thought that Progress match was better than this one. After thinking about it and digesting over the weekend, I actually going to disagree with myself and I'm going to change my opinion. I thought, yeah, this match probably actually was better given the circumstances and everything. I think I was pretty a bit biased when I made that statement, the fact that I was actually at Progress Wembley. Whatever we say, whatever, if you're going to argue between the two, it was just a fantastic match, and these two fantastic athletes can work for each other for sure, can't they? It was just a tremendous main event.
I haven't seen the Progress match. I wanted to. I bookmarked it and everything, and I just haven't got not enough hours in a day, which is what we've always said regarding wrestling, which shows how sport we are as fans, in all honesty, with everything that we can watch. This was the performance of Tyler Bates' life, in all honesty. Just insane. Picking up Volta, and he's a lot bigger than him, and just amazing main event. Because you were thinking, okay, well, it's going to win now, and it's and like I said, it's going to end now. And wow, is he going to beat him? Is he going to retain? What's he going to have to do to you know fend off Tyler Bate? And it was just incredible. It's like a crescendo. It built up and built up and built up, and it's just absolutely fantastic. I mean, for me, up until this point, there was another match of the night which we'll talk about. But when it was all said and done, this was absolutely incredible main event.
I think just with both men as well, they really followed the story on purpose very well. I think they've had a lot of great build going into it, with the fact that Tyler Bate's not up towards a sort of standard. Tyler Bate obviously proved during the match he is the big strong boy. And I think they just got a lot of the little bits absolutely spot on as well during this match. And again, I think it just proves what a talent Tyler Bate is, because when we talk about, obviously, the UK wrestlers, how well Pete Dunne's, or how well everyone's done, but obviously Pete Dunne and Tyler are always the ones, but obviously it all marks back to Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate's absolute tremendous match at NXT TakeOver Chicago 2017. That was obviously the benchmark of British matches that have been seen in WWE, in my opinion. I would say this has now probably taken over, in my opinion. I think this is
That's a good, what's the word? Because you said takeover. No, I can completely agree. This was a mind-blowing match, in all honesty. It was fantastic.
And I think for both men as well, it's interesting to see where they're going to go. Obviously, loving the Walter and obviously the storyline with Walter and his crew on the NXT UK. And this is someone who doesn't want, I'll be honest, I don't watch NXT UK every week as much as I'd love to. Obviously, again, with our
own. Much like myself, I watch the takeovers.
I just think with them, I love the storyline where they're going with them, with Walter in his defence. But Tyler Bate, it'll be interesting to see where he goes. Obviously, it was no secret that him and Pete are the ones that have been signed to, like more full-time deals than the other UK guys. So it'll be interesting if we maybe see Tyler Bate on American NXT a little bit more, especially with, obviously, them going live in a few weeks' time for the two-hour slot. They're going to probably need a few more bodies. Do you reckon we'll see Tyler on NXT a bit more full time now, especially when it goes live?
See, the best thing they can do in this situation is have the Imperium run off British Strong Style, have them all go up to NXT, not because just because they, you know, it's three against four, isn't it? I think. Tyler Bay couldn't get it done. Then have a match against Trent Seven, he can't get it done. Then have a match against Pete Dunne, he can't do it either. And then have them all go up to NXT. And then that gives other people who are on the peripheral in NXT UK the opportunity to step up to that next level. And that's what's desperately needed, to be honest. I think they've got to move up to NXT. I mean, we was even saying put like Pete Dunne on SmackDown and stuff. You know, it should be that you start on the Indies, you go to NXT UK or NXT, and then you go up to the main roster. If you come from the UK, I guess, then go up to NXT in America, and then go up to the main roster. So that's the storyline I would go with, because Volta could be that dominant champion. And because he's got his friends to back him up, you could have a losers leave NXT UK match or something. You know, Imperium against British Strong Style, and then, you know, Volta gets involved in it or what have you. Because obviously they've got the advantage of the extra man, and that's the reason they're screwed out of it, but that's the reason why they go to NXT.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's a very good point you've made there. And one thing's for sure, it will be interesting to see certainly where it goes from here with both men. And in fact, they're both their stables, as you say, with British Strong Style and Imperium. I think, personally, I'd like to see Imperium maybe eventually almost do what Undisputed have done on the American NXT. Or if I'd like to see, maybe you could have NXT UK become Imperium's land, obviously. they've come over to NXT UK, and they've obviously won all the belts. You can have Walter as obviously your main champion, and then obviously you can have a couple of them have the tag titles as well. So yeah. I think that might be pretty cool as well.
I don't see why you couldn't do that, to be honest. I think that'd be a good idea. Putting Imperium across as the dominant faction in NXT UK really could be fantastic for the brand, in all honesty.
Absolutely, no, definitely. Well, staying with the sort of, we just touched on it very briefly about the tag team. Obviously, this was no secret, the match that you want about saying that it was going to be the match of the night. I thought it was great tag team wrestling. One of the three teams, obviously, it was grizzled young veterans of Zach Gibson and James Draker with the current tag titles. You obviously then had two members of Gallus, Wolfgang and Mark Coffey. And then, I don't know if they actually got a tag team name, these two, Mark Andrews and Flash Morgan Webster, because obviously I know Andrews and Eddie Dennis have been called FSU in progress with Eddie, and then obviously you've had Flash Morgan Webster and Wild Boar as the 198. So have they got an actual name, Andrews and Flash?
Not one I can think of. I think they said something, but this was Saturday night, so
yeah, exactly.
The Welsh
Fathers.
The Welsh Dragons or something like that, we'll go with, you know.
Well, whatever their name is, it was a fantastic moment for both young men and fantastic moments for Wales as well. And just a fantastic feel-good moment for everyone watching at home and, more importantly, the fantastic crowd that were there. It was an excellent, excellent, excellent tag team match. Like, obviously, we haven't said on WWE main roster, especially after the disaster on Raw the week, less said about it, the better. But no, a great tag team match, great win, a well-deserved winners. It was just brilliant from start to finish, wasn't it?
I think, like I said, this was, as you've been reading my notes about my knowledge, this was my match of the night up until that point. I just thought this was just an incredible match. And it was like, I'm not sure who's going to win. And then when they won, the Welsh Dragons, you know, if anyone wants to get in, involved with a tag team name for Flash Morgan Webster and Mark Andrews, send us a tweet on Twitter at twitter.com/BGWpod. Just absolutely fantastic, in all honesty. Everything you could ask for from a tag team match. You know, shoes off if you hate Gibson. That's still one of the coolest things. Really, really weird, but okay, just go with it. Lots of smelly socks in Cardiff, I would imagine. just incredible, because I was thinking, much like you, not enough hours in a day to watch NXT UK, especially, you know, how many episodes they've done and stuff. And I was like, okay, you know, Flash Morgan Webster and Mark Andrews have come to the forefront. And if you're going to do the title change, you've got to do it now. Don't do it on a TV taping in, you know, Manchester or something like that. You've got to make this title change now, and they'll be made stars. And they did, and the crowd went, you know, the arena just, you know, blew its roof off, and it was just an incredible match.
I think what made this match go really well as well, you had sort of three complete dynamic tag teams. You had obviously Flash and Andrews as high flyers, obviously fat faces. You then had Coffey and Wolfgang, who are obviously brutes, big strong lads, monsters. And then you obviously have Gibson and Drake as your, obviously, you're really, really heated tag team that are sly. They'll look for like the quick pinfalls, the sly tag team, the technical tag team, I guess you could call them, just the very sneaky tag team, heelish moves. So I think that's what made the match superbly well. And when you touched on it there with Gibson as well, every live event I've ever seen him in, a Progress, Riptide, or where have you, even WWE, actually, he's done a lot of house shows with WWE. The heat he gets is absolutely tremendous. And I think, to be fair to Gibson, he'll go far in this industry. because he's just so great at generating a fantastic level of heat. It's all well and good getting a bit of heat here and there, but to actually have the heat, he's even got his own thing of when a wrestler gets booed and you speak to them after the show, oh, you got the Gibson treatment. I think that's obviously says that he's also almost built a legacy for the new UK guys coming through at indie shows across the country of the heat that he's generated in the past. So I just think that's what made the match work so well. You saw three different dynamic tag teams as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. I think it was just right place, right time, right tag teams, you know, all offering different things, like the wily, grizzled young veterans, the power and the brutality of the Gallus lads, and then you know, Webster and Andrews is just, you know, just fighting from underneath, and obviously you know, they're just their high flying prowess, and it just worked an absolute treat. It was you know, one of the best tag team matches that, you know, and we're both really big fans of tag team wrestling. This was one of the best tag team wrestling matches of the year, in all honesty. That's how highly I felt.
I quite agree. I think you've couldn't agree any more with that. And more of the same, please. one thing you did mention as well was the brilliant chance of Are You Watching Vince McMahon? The one match that really stood out to me personally was the Cesaro Open Challenge, which was obviously accepted by Ilya Dragunov. And this match really, really stood out for me. I thought this was the match. This is the match that really got me invested in shows. You need that match lower on down the card. It can even be an opening match. It could be anything. You need that match to go, right, I'm sorry for this pay-per-view now. Bring me everything, because I think this is going to be great. This was the match that did that for me. I'm not a big fan. When you do an open challenge, I'm not a big fan of the way it was answered backstage, because I don't think the crowd got that invested with the backstage sort of segment.
Because you want it to be just somebody who comes out to...
Exactly that. I'm not obviously criticizing, it could have been worse, I guess, but we got the match that was great. I think Dragunov was probably one of the best people that could have answered the challenge, and I think it does wonders for both men, because they got a lot of minutes in the ring. Cesaro is one of the best. I mean, we've obviously said he's underused. I know obviously there's always difficulties with Cesaro's promo. That's not a secret. I mean, the promo Cesaro cut a few weeks ago on Raw with the King of the Ring, it was a basic promo, and it was appalling, to be honest with you, before the Samoa Joe match.
But the thing is, if you don't think he's got interview chops, one, you've got to allow him to have opportunities to gain those, or two, you put him with a manager.
Yeah, I mean, the manager could work
again. Simple as that.
I know they took Heyman off him quite quickly, which arguably was a mistake, but it doesn't need to be Heyman again. It could be anyone, really, they can give him as a manager. But even if we talk about his, you just can't doubt his wrestling ability. I mean, we just see it time after time how great he is in the ring with his uppercuts, obviously his swing around the ring. Cesaro wrestling is just absolutely fantastic to watch, and it is.
That was probably the line in the night, actually, by Nigel McGuinness, saying that the Welsh crowd can't get up to 100. With the Cesaro swing. Yeah, that was quality.
I think Dragunov as well, though. I think this is another young man who's got huge potential to go very, very far. I think obviously he has such a big stock before he joined NXT UK, but when you put on clinics like this against an established main roster superstar in Cesaro, he comes out of it looking... This is just very good booking by WWE when they do stuff like this, because he comes out of it looking absolutely brilliant. Obviously, you don't make your main star lose as well, which just opens up all kind of worms. It was just absolutely brilliant by this match. Everything WWE got right with it, I thought, was great. But most importantly, the two men in the ring completely, almost over-delivered, you could say, with this match. I thought it was just great. Some of the technical ability from both men, but Dragunov's one that just keeps on improving, and so he's really exciting me, and dare I say, he could be a potential, I imagine Trent Seven will probably be next with Walter, but Dragunov could be one that's sort of not far behind in the slightest.
Well, he could be the one that goes in their place when they leave. he could be one of the guys that steps up. I think the most important part of this match was the aftermath, the fact that Cesaro, you know, he kind of came back and then publicly thanked Dragunov for the match. I think that does a lot. Like when Cesaro, you know, came back and gave Sami Zayn props at NXT Arrival years ago.
Yeah.
That really helped him. So I think the most important part of this match was actually after the match. And, you know, obviously the match was good. Cesaro winning keeps him at his level. Dragunov is like, okay, well, why did he lose on this show to somebody who's like been flown in and stuff? But because he came back and he, you know, put him across and stuff, that's actually done more for him, than winning the match against Cesaro.
I personally think I'd like to see more handshakes. And I know, obviously, in WWE, when you move up to the main roster, it's a lot more sports entertainment. And yeah, obviously, you can't have it after every match or what have you. But NXT, especially, I'm a big fan of this when people do the handshakes. It just adds a lot to, I think, more with NXT. It gives NXT that lot of a bit of the brand notice, really, and it makes them a bit different from Raw and SmackDown when they do stuff like that, which I think will be great. And I think they should definitely continue doing when they do move to 2 hours, to give them that almost that their own identity, so to speak, of little stuff like that, which I think is great. And obviously, we talk about NXT going to 2 hours, they are going to need more bodies. Cesaro's not doing much on Raw or SmackDown. I'd absolutely happily see him become a big time player on NXT, challenging for the NXT title. So I'd happily see that.
The thing they should do with Cesaro, Ono, Kings of Wrestling, that, you know, they're crying out for tag teams on both NXT and NXT UK. You know, Ono's come out and said that, you know, that's the past and we appreciate you, you know, supporting us and stuff, but if they just rocked up on any of the shows, it would make it must watch.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I've never seen them wrestle as a tag team, so I'll be all for that, especially as Ono, I know he hasn't got a massive career ahead of him now. I think he'll be obviously more looking into, obviously, I'd imagine more of the coaching side of things. I think he'll be a great NXT UK coach. So I think if they're going to do it, they should do it sooner rather than later. Whilst both men are fresh, and it doesn't even have to necessarily be a long sort of time. You could even have them win the belts, and then you could even have the WWE Classic or split them up, and then they can have a great match. So I think they should definitely do all sorts of them sooner rather than later.
Absolutely.
Well, they're obviously the three standout major moments, I'd say, from the NXT TakeOver. Anything else that you want to mention from the NXT TakeOver?
I think just one of the most disappointing things was the Tony Storm Kay Lee Ray match. I think they could have done so much more with that. That was something I was really looking forward to. Probably the match I was most looking forward to going in, to be honest. And it just felt like they rushed to that conclusion with Kay Lee Ray becoming the new champion. So it makes me wonder if Tony Storm's getting a call up as well.
Yeah, potentially. So I think it's been no secret. I do need a few more women on the main roster on the NXT American side. And especially, we can keep saying this, with them going 2 hours, they're going to need more bodies, both for male and female. I think yeah, absolutely, it will be. It will make sense as well for her to go up to the higher yellow brand, I should say. No, and also for me as well, just a final point on the NXT UK TakeOver. Obviously, we mentioned how great the fans were, but I'd also like to so I thought the opening match was very good between Nia and Travis Banks. And again, we saw about wrestlers who, do you reckon, obviously, when you have these matches, do you reckon they can maybe make another belt on NXT UK TakeOver, or do you think it's a bit too soon? So it was a great match, but I personally do like, I like matches where they sort of has a bit of a meaning to sort of things. Do you reckon there's enough room for them to make another belt on NXT UK TakeOver, or do you think they should not run before they can walk, sort of thing?
I think just quickly regarding that match, I think the thing that concerns me greatly is what they're going to do with what they're doing with Travis Banks. Like, Noam Dar beat him clean in the middle of the ring, I just wonder what's the the end point in regards to Travis Banks, because you've got one of the guys here that was hugely popular in Progress, really popular around the UK at the different shows that he was a part of and stuff. You put him on NXT UK. Jordan Devlin took him out. Obviously had that amazing moment when he jumped off the balcony and stuff. And then he's gone up against Noam Dar in the first match and lost, in a pretty straightforward way. Is that a change of the character coming or something? Or something's got to happen?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, not playing devil's advocate, but it's sort of, well, not everyone can win a wrestling match, sort of thing. Everyone has to, you have to have your losers and your winners. Not everyone can be champion. People have to accept they're going to be lower down the card and what have you. People are lucky to even make it onto the card. I think with obviously Travis Banks, he was obviously had a great career on the Indies as well as a tag team as well.
TK.
It could be maybe good to see him team up with someone potentially. I couldn't even force him to make a new team, but I think it's just point of the time. I think obviously it'd be nice maybe to get him a win, but we'll just enter into another sort of physical feud sort of thing. So there's plenty of wrestlers he can feud with and have a great match with. But I just think again, this potentially could be the old argument of maybe they do need a mid-card title because for wrestlers like your Travis Banks and what have you.
Yeah, to answer your original question, I think you could, because if no one could get anywhere near Volta, if he goes past the Pete Dunne record, for example, then NXT UK might be very difficult to watch, especially the TV show and stuff. So, you could definitely introduce a third title because they're able to do the NXT in general with the North American title. So, you could have Volta keep this NXT UK title for forever, basically. And then you've got to introduce the title because no one can get near him. So a TV title or something along those lines would be very welcomed.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it'd be a case of watching space for now, I'm sure. That concludes obviously our NXT UK side of things. But again, do let us know your thoughts of the show or any matches that you think we've overhyped or, as I say, or underhyped. Please do let us know by tweeting us at BBGpod. Obviously, as we missed out last week, Oliver, do you want to promote your fantastic books?
I've got a British wrestling book, A Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling. I've got a WWE book, A Fan's Perspective, 2016, What a Year to Be a Fan of WWE. And I've got a storytelling kind of book with my journey to and from WrestleMania 24, and that's called How My Lifelong Dream Became a Nightmare. And those books are all available on paperback and Kindle, paperback signed via My Big Cartel, afansperspective.bigcartel.com, where they'll be signed and half the price of Amazon, including the postage and packaging. So it's a good deal. Or if you see me in person, it's the exact same prices. On Amazon, it's going to be double the price for the paperback. Kindle's still the same price. And if you have Kindle Unlimited, you can read the books for free. And I get paid per page that you're reading for sitting.
Fantastic, and yeah, I can strongly recommend those books. Fantastic reading, especially about the WrestleMania one, I'd say, because it was nice to hear someone else's opinion who's been to a WrestleMania show, because I also have been to a WrestleMania show in New Orleans. Just had to get it in there, because I'm struggling to see how I'm going to get it in for the rest of the show, so I had to find somewhere to get that in.
29 minutes in, well done, Nick.
I think that's probably my longest I've ever gone, I think, to be fair.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
This is Benji from the Land of Gentry, and if you've got any class, you'd be listening to Broken But Glorious.
A couple of housekeeping for me as well. We do have a partnership with Power Slam TV where you can get access. You can get obviously loads of months free there. Access to over 145 promotions, including our podcast favourites, Riptide and North Wrestling, as well as Combat Zone Wrestling, Red Pro and Preston City Wrestling by using the promo code Broken Free. And also as well, we've had a partnership as well with Wrestling Resurgence. Just going to quickly mention their results there. Also, none of us are at the show, but just heard it was a great show. It's Wrestling Resurgence, Art of House Wrestling at Volume 3. The results were, there was an Iron Woman match between Charlie and Evans and Kanji, which Charlie Evans won. Jade beat Man Like Derris. Spike Trevay beat Harry Singh. There was the Resurgence Championship match. Champion Gene Money beat Chris Brooks. We had a tag match, The Henchman, Jim Diehard and Benson Destruction. They beat Rocky Mack and Damon Moser. Shikara beat Connor Mills. And finally, Kafka Cup 4-way match. Joseph Kafka. They won the match by beating Big T, Jetta and Rhea O'Reilly. Okay, so that was the they're the results from that show there. As I say, I wasn't at the show, neither of us for the show, but from just reading some of the stuff on Twitter, it sounded like a great show. So well done to all involved at Wrestling Resurgence. So yeah, I've got to get my voice back after that. I'm already drunk myself out of water. I'm saying AEW, All Out again. I thought
we just want to quickly talk about Raw Quest and the title changes, or are we gonna?
Do you want to quickly mention that then?
Yeah, I can. I'll talk about that quickly. The Rev Pro Heavyweight Championship changed hands from Zack Sabre Jr. to Hiroshi Tanahashi. Well, that's a Japanese name. I've done right. And for anyone listening, they know about that. And the never open weight title changed hands from Tomohiro Ishii to Kenta. There we go.
Nice. So Red Pro.
I think that's all the title changes. The ones that I read about anyway. So
from the now we mentioned the other ones I could think of when I saw on Twitter. So I see so much wrestling stuff on Twitter. It's spinning as well. I think earlier I was writing a report for work and I ended up using that half dress as one mistake in there because I was just concentrating on looking at my Twitter at the same time. Great promotion.
Nice to know you work hard at work, Nick.
Yeah, I know. Please tell you, I know my work colleagues listening to this. it just allows us to reiterate. Please go and watch your local wrestling. There's some great companies out there, like the ones we just mentioned. So go on, buy a ticket, even if it is just every so often. Really some great wrestling.
And I think the only issue I have with New Japan Raw Quest is they brought Kota Ibushi over. No offence to any of the guys he was wrestling against, but to put him in a tag team match, I think that was a bad thing to do to Kota Ibushi, to be honest.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
On to All Elite, yeah. All Out Wrestling. All AEW, All Out pay-per-view. I thought this was a great pay-per-view, and I think... again, it gives me confidence that I think they've got the balance right. I think they've booked it very sensibly. I think they just got a lot of everything. I think they just got everything done correctly. And again, they're moving at a very steady pace ahead of their TV company. Again, it gives me confidence that they know what they're doing and they're going to get it right, I think, with this pay-per-view more than anything. So I think whilst all the matches, a lot of matches were great. There's probably... one of the matches was my favourite match of the weekend, but overall I think above all with the match qualities, I think they just got everything right, a lot of correct winners and just a lot of everything right in a way, I thought.
As long as you think everything's right, Nick.
Yeah. Well, we'll start with the other. There's no better place to start than Chris Jericho beating, obviously, Chris Jericho winning the AEW champion's first ever holder, beating Hangman Adam Page in the main event, which, first of all, was a great entrance with Adam Page coming down on the horse, which I had a lot of time for. Match itself was great, but most importantly, do you think Chris Jericho's is the correct winner? Do you think he's the best person to be the first ever holder of the AEW title?
I think that's the first time someone's come out on a horse since Cowboy Bret Hart.
JBL did on a SmackDown once, I remember. JBL 2005, I think it was, when wrestling was just terrible, WWE was terrible. JBL came out on a horse, I remember, on SmackDown. I
remember he fought Godzilla, but I didn't know about the horse. I think Jericho is probably the most marketable star, in all honesty. If Chris Jericho is holding the AEW world title, although I'm not sure why it's world, because they haven't been anywhere but America. And obviously you have to defend it four sides of the globe before you can call it a world title, but that's neither here nor there. I think Chris Jericho is, you know, if you look at longevity, he really is the GOAT of professional wrestling. Reinvented himself so many times. It's kind of like the G1 climax from last year with Tanahashi and Ibushi. In this instance, Paige is Ibushi and Jericho is Tanahashi. So it's like, if you're going to go with the safe option, which is Jericho, but understandably so, or you're going to try and, you know, change things up with Adam Page, and they've gone the Jericho route, which for a new company starting out makes sense. For New Japan, a company that's been in business 40 years, doesn't make sense. So, to go with Jericho is probably the best idea, in all honesty.
Yeah, I agree. I think the match itself was great, but I think with Jericho had to. I completely agree with Jericho. It doesn't damage Adam Page in any way. He'll be a major part of that company, and already I think he's done great. He's main evented a big, well watched pay per view. And I think against Chris Jericho, I think with all EW, they're trying to get their foot in the door. They're still going to want to get a lot of your casual wrestling fans in. That's the whole point of it, and I think Jericho's the best star I think they've got, in the sense that if you're going to go to your casual mates who are wrestling fans, good. Oh yeah, I'm following a new promotion now, AEW. Chris Jericho's champion. Oh okay, yeah, I've heard of him. I'll probably give it a watch. I think it's just a simple way in regards to that. He's obviously not out of it by any stretch. He's still in great nick. He's still probably, arguably the best he's been for a while. He's still in great nick, so it's not like you're just putting on an old clogger who can't go anymore. Jericho's still in great shape. He can still wrestle against the best. So I think it makes a lot of sense. And I know for those who might even just trying to find, obviously, those who might be going, oh, it's not building to the future. It still is. The amount of matches Jericho can get out of people as well and put the belt over, he's obviously going to drop the belt at some stage. Then he will be to an up-and-coming start when AEW is obviously that bit more high profile as well, when they've got their TV tapings. I think I think it's the correct decision, and
the guy who beats Jericho is obviously going to be a main star, isn't he?
Exactly, and there's so many options Jericho can face. I mean, you've obviously got Kenny Omega, who's obviously that's got a little swallow itself. Can Omega actually beat Jericho? You've got that. Moxley's obviously got beef for Jericho, as we saw it all the way back at Double or Nothing. Pac's just beaten Omega, so
I'd love to see Jericho versus Pac. That'd be awesome.
Well, I can remember the wrestling was on Raw once when Pac actually broke his ankle. There's just so many options. Adam Page might want another rematch. We've also got people like Cody winning. Jimmy Havoc's just won. So there's a lot of the list is endless on superstars that could challenge. So I think correct decision, and just excited to see where it goes from here, to be honest with you.
Cassidy versus Jericho.
That's going to be my favourite part of the show. I think in terms of match of the night, it has to be my match of the weekend, the tag title match, ladder match between the Lucha Brothers and the Young Bucks. Just wow, spot after spot after spot. Where do you start from this? This was just absolutely excellent, wasn't it?
Yeah, like I said, I thought the tag title NXT UK match was going to be the match of the weekend. Then it was Fate versus Volta, and then it stopped when it was Lucha Brothers against Young Bucks. This ladder match was insane in the best possible way. Just two teams who just give it all for the fans. Love the Lucha Brothers since, you know, seeing them in Impact Wrestling and stuff. They are the best team in the universe for me. They are just incredible. And one of the things that I saw on Twitter was they've done four matches back to back since Thursday. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday, including that other match. Especially when, you know, we thought that Phoenix was injured last week, but thankfully he wasn't. They just pulled out all the stops, in honesty. It might be a ladder match that goes down in history as one of the very, very best. That's how good it was. You know, it was just amazing. Incredible match.
I think with this as well, AEW, they want to build to the tag team division as well when it goes on to the TV tapings, and this is just going to be, I hope, the stuff of this is going to be the beginning of loads of great tag team wrestling like this. I think with me, you could give me any rubbish promotion around the world, but all you've got to do is tell me, oh yeah, there's a tag team ladder match between two very good teams. I would either watch it or buy it or wherever. I would be just intrigued to see it because it's just my favourite type of wrestling. It's just spots galore, isn't it? And some of them were just great. And it's even got, I think obviously with this match, it's a bit like the Cody Dustin match back at, I said about Double or Nothing, when I've got mates who aren't really interested in texting me videos of this, some of the spots that this match got. This AEW company's all right, isn't it? So I think, again, if it's going to get new fan base, keep doing matches like this, because it will get your new fans. It will get your fans obviously invested. It potentially might even take fans away from other promotions, but it was just wowzer. It was just absolutely brilliant. And again, both tag teams come out of this looking very, very good, don't they? It was just brilliant.
Well, if that was enough to you to be involved in tag team wrestling and want it to be the best it could be for the team, formerly known as LAX, to turn up afterwards.
Yeah.
You want to talk about a tag division, AEW's is one of the very best from top to bottom, what you would consider the undercard of the tag team division. The aforementioned like Private Party and Angelico and Jack Evans and stuff, there isn't a bad tag team in that division at all, and they're going to have some incredible matches over the TV tapings and future pay-per-views, I have no doubt.
Absolutely, no, I completely agree. Yeah, really delighted to see them in AEW. You know, the writing's kind of been on the wall for a while with them joining. AEW has been linked for a while. It was just great to see it. Obviously, it was just great to see it obviously finally happening. And a really great introduction with the mask on and everything. It was done in a great way, attacking both tag teams as well. A really, really good introduction. I did actually think earlier in the night they were going to debut when the lights went off. I thought that was going to be them in the ring. Instead, it was the best in the world when they attacked New Order. But even on the subject of the tag team division, quickly mentioned as well, early in the night we saw New Order Dark Order. There is there's some great tag teams, and again, not mentioning Natural, you've got a lot of different dynamic tag teams, haven't you, as well? So you've got your Lucha Brothers, the High Flyers. You've got obviously Kenny. You've also got the Young Bucks, again, High Flyers, but also very good technical wrestlers. You've obviously got your Big Brutes and the Dark Order. Then you've obviously just got your tag team chemistry as well with the team formerly known as LAX. So
Private party, the ones to look out for the
private parties.
They were amazing on the Boeing show. Really, really impressed me.
They were great. Best friends as well. They're a fantastic tag team. So, I think of AEW, if you want this to be your division, well, where you've got tag teams around the world, the Revival, who want to come and wrestle for this company, because they're putting on clinic after clinic, wrestling matches, really building legitimacy and just building everything around the tag team division. You're going to get interest from fans and wrestlers alike.
It could be the Revival of tag team wrestling.
Very good. I see what you did there. Excellent. but no, I'm really good. Big fan. I think the whole weekend, though, massive thumbs up for wrestling. I think I've noticed the trend. Whenever the tag team wrestling's great, it seems to generate a positive response on the podcast, I've noticed. So, yeah, funny that.
We'll do a Justin Roberts on you, Nick. 15 minutes remaining.
Oh, thank you. Quickly, just round up then with AEW. We haven't mentioned it. Pac against Kenny Omega. Great to see Pac in AEW. Obviously, I know he was supposed to wrestle Hangman Page back at Double Nothing, but obviously, sadly, of unforeseen circumstances, that match couldn't happen. Better late than never, though. Great match. And already they've established Pac as a main event guy, haven't they?
Absolutely. I mean, we don't want John Moxley to be injured. You know, don't get that twisted. But the change in match actually helped the match, I think, in all honesty. Because you've got Pac coming in and he's like that unknown quantity, because I've never seen him do that submission move before to end the match. And they just tore it up. It's just brilliant, really. And the story with Kenny Omega is going to be fascinating to watch going forward. Because he's gone from being the best bout machine, the best wrestler in the world, and, you know, on pay-per-view, I don't class the Fight for the Fallen or Fighter Fest as pay-per-views. I think they're more like house shows, to be honest. But on pay-per-view, on the two pay-per-views, he's lost. So it'd be interesting to see what they're going to do with Kenny Omega going forward. Absolutely chuffed for Pac, you know, being British, and you know, we want a British star, and this guy could have been, you know, Intercontinental Champion or US Champion in WWE. They didn't allow that to happen, and he could quite easily be the guy that dethrones Chris Jericho. I could easily see that happen, and it'd be fantastic if he did. I mean, even in that instance, he'd be one of the first English champions, wasn't he?
Yeah, he certainly would.
Nick Aldis is obviously, Magnus, when he was in TNA Impact Wrestling. He was the first English champion, but it'd be great to see Pac following those footsteps. That would be brilliant. And the matches he could have, and, you know, et cetera, could be amazing. But, yeah, they threw everything in this match, and it was really, really good. I loved it.
And as well with Cody, another great match as well. Cody against Shawn Spears. Cody with picking up the win. I love a match with a bit of shenanigans / sports entertainment. This really had that factor, and I thought it was great with a few interferences. Loved Arn Anderson coming out with this suplex. And even post-match when Cody celebrated, he had that little MJF looking at the chair. Was he going to hit him or not? Decided not to. Threw the chair, hug it out. I'm so intrigued at where this storyline's going to go. Obviously, it was good Cody got his revenge on Shawn, but the MJF Cody really does intrigue me of where they're actually going to go with this.
Yeah, I think, you know, it might be too easy and stuff, but it's got to be MJF turning on Cody, hasn't it? That's got to be the next one. But the thing I'm concerned about, once again, much like we were talking about Travis Banks and stuff, what they're going to do with Shawn Spears next. You know, they've given him a manager in Tully Blanchard, and, you know, even with Tully's interference, he still couldn't beat Cody. So, yeah, that'll be interesting to see where that goes next, really.
Yeah, it will be. I think one thing's for sure, obviously, he's in a better place than he was when he was when he was in backstage segments and getting on main event, if he was lucky, or Superstars, or whatever it's called these days, the dark shows before Raw, SmackDown. But no, I thought that was great. And then the final one is the triple threat match. A lot of hardcore spots in this. Jimmy Havoc winning, which I was so happy that Jimmy Havoc won, because he hasn't whatever, he's won a match in All Elite yet. So it was really nice, really good to see him win. He beat, obviously, Joey Janela and Darby Allin in a triple threat match. A big fan of all three guys. Really, really big fan of all three. But yeah, happy Jimmy got his first win. And did some of them make you feel a bit squeamish? Some of the spots.
Well, when he got the tax put down his throat, that was a bit crazy. But I don't know if you recognise this with Darby Allin. Darby Allin, that's his name.
I just
thought that was quite cool. I thought this one went under the radar. It's fantastic, to be honest. Yeah, this one went under the radar for me. I watched it because of Jimmy Havoc, you know, biggest fan of his since back in the day and stuff, the British wrestling book he's in. Cheap plug. But I just thought the monkey flip on Joey Janela when he landed in the chair, I was like, that is absolutely amazing. And it was just something completely different to anything on the card, and I thought it was really, really fun, really good.
It was just, my type of wrestling to an extent, I will say. But just delighted that Jimmy got the win. That really helped to the pay-per-view, I thought. It's nice to have a bit of hardcore on there, isn't it? Just freshen it up as well. I know it's more when it could happen, these five-star technical match after technical match, but it's nice to have a little bit of a break and just see people trying to kill each other in the nicest way possible.
I just hope he gets the opportunity to show that he can wrestle as well. Because I don't know if there's going to be hardcore matches on every show, but I know for a fact, coming through the Hammerlock Wrestling School, as well as matches I've seen, you know, in local promotions and stuff, that Jimmy Havoc can wrestle as much as he does the hardcore style. So hopefully he gets the opportunity to do that.
No, absolutely. This is Shreddy Breck, a.k.a. Mr. Clangin' and Bangin'. And you are listening to Broken But Glorious, because this ain't no gimmick, it's a lifestyle. Going to finish off then with our PIPW. So it's a new segment we're going to be doing on the show every week.
The way the Positive Bro Wrestling worked before is it was a separate show, and I talked about some of the best matches of the week. It's matches that we've talked about before, and the matches I picked out were, you know, four matches we've already talked about, and Ali versus Buddy Murphy. So, just to quickly round it up, because we are running out of time and stuff. Number five, and this is no reflection on their performance at all, it's just how good the wrestling's been this past week, is Buddy Murphy versus Ali, the King of the Ring match on SmackDown Live. Was just fantastic. I'm not I've saw the 205 live feud, so I wasn't, I knew they could tear it up if given the opportunity, and if given more time they would have had a match of the year candidate, in all honesty. So that's only five because of the matches that are taking place this weekend. So four is Pac against Omega for the reasons already stated. This is a fantastic back and forth match. Wasn't sure who was going to win. I guess that Omega was the favourite in the match, and that made Pac the underdog. And then for him to tap him out with this new submission that I haven't seen before was just fantastic. And obviously, we really want British wrestlers to do well on the globe. So. That was fantastic. That's number four. Number three, is the Triple Threat NXT UK Tag Titles match, which we've already discussed. Fantastic crowd. fantastic from all three teams. You know, the wily grizzled veterans, Gallus bringing the brutality, and Andrews and Webster bringing, you know, the high flying, you know, technical aspect of it, and then winning in front of their home, you know, home country fans was just absolutely fantastic. And it was one of the instances where I heard, "Are you watching Vince McMahon?" And that's, you know, that's what I kind of took from the match. This is, you know, six guys who have been given an opportunity and they just tore it up. And it's really unfortunate to be number three on the PIPW top five. Number two is Volta against Tyler Bate, for the aforementioned reasons. Just the fact that Tyler Bate gave the performance of a lifetime, going up against a guy that's much bigger than him, you know, picking him up for an airplane spin when he looked like he had his back ruined. Then the Tyler driver in 97. It's just an incredible match. I haven't seen the progress match. Nick has. He thought it was better. Then he changed his mind over the weekend. And yeah, that just says it all, really. And number one is the AAA tag team title match between the Young Bucks and the Lucha Brothers in a ladder match, sorry. And this is just an absolutely insane match, much like the Double or Nothing match that I think at the time I said was match of the night. This was another level. Absolutely incredible use of tables, ladders and chairs, oh my. I don't know if there was chairs used, but just absolutely outrageous. The one thing that stood out to me was, I think, like the Canadian Destroyer, but it looked like a pile driver through the table, and it must have hurt like hell. So, yeah, those are the PIPW top five, and those are the reasons why. That's the way I've picked them.
Fantastic. I have to say, that's about all we've got time for on this edition of Broken But Glorious Pod. Obviously, again, you can subscribe to us for weekly podcasts and interviews. Got loads of great shows coming up, including in a few weeks' time we'll be doing the Clash of Champions, we'll be reviewing Clash of Champions. Obviously, we've got a new structure to our podcast as well, which is really exciting. You'll see hear more, I should say, next week. But yeah, no, that's all we've got time for. Thank you for listening from me and Oliver. And we will see you soon.
Thanks, everyone. Good night.